History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk, folks, you can now stream this show and all of our WWL Time Shifted podcasts on the free Odyssey app, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio apps. Just listen to the shows you love and local content you crave when you want, how you want, on Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps. Back on Sports Talk, and we were talking about day three of Saints training camp. They're still not in pads yet. They got one more practice. They'll just be in shells on Sunday. They get the day off today, but then on Monday, things ramp up. They'll be in full pads in front of the fans starting Monday. It'll be the action we've all been waiting for sure. It's nice. It was nice to be at practice these first couple of days, but now we're like, oh, man, we want to get into the real deal.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing that we haven't been talking about is offensive line, defensive line, right? Yeah. Like, because there's just only so much you can learn without pads when it comes to the offensive line and the defensive line. You just can't. Like, it's not a coincidence that a lot of our conversations have been around quarterback, wide receiver, you know, even secondary. the kickers, like secondary, because those positions kind of operate the same whether they're in pads or not. Obviously, there's some difference. You have something to hold on to when they have pads. You get a little more physical as a defensive back. But, like, I'm still waiting to see whether I think Trevor Penning can survive at guard or not. And we just don't know right now. And pretending you do is just a complete guess. So we'll see. I have high hopes. I'm optimistic. But that's what we're going to start to learn on Monday is how is Kelvin Banks surviving at left tackle?
Right.
I have no concerns whatsoever about Tali Fuaga over at right tackle, but how does that pairing work together? How does the left side of the line look with a rookie and a first-time left guard? Eric McCoy is just kind of the glue in the middle, but like those are the questions that we're going to get the answers to or start to get the answers to, and that's something that these first 3 days of practice – That's really not what you're watching.
To that point as well, it's like the running back. Everyone wants to know who's going to be behind Alvin Kamara. I don't really know yet because it's hard to tell what running backs are doing when you're not hitting anybody.
Yeah, it's hard to tell in practice in general because you're even with pads on, you're not really tackling.
Right.
But yeah, you start to, you know, you can lean on some guys. You can really get physical with the running backs. And that's going to be another one. But I think running back is more so let's see what happens in the game, in the preseason games. Like, I'm going to need to see these, because Alvin's probably not going to play. I'd be surprised if Alvin plays more than a series.
I definitely wouldn't.
The entire preseason.
Sure.
So these guys down the line, they're going to get a ton of run. And so that's where I feel like you're gonna get a really good look at those guys.
30-year-old running back that you know what he's capable of. I always say wrap him up in bubble wrap, keep him ready for week one.
Yeah, and exactly. And you're not worried about what it's going to look like. Maybe if you want to get him some reps with the young quarterback, just to build some comfortability, some kind of comfortability there. He's fine. Alvin's going to show up in week one and be Alvin.
Right.
That said, like Kendre, we'll finally see him. And I guess he did play a couple preseason games in his rookie year. I remember he had that crazy diving catch out against the Chargers in 23. But, you know, can he kind of own? I want to see Kendre win that job. I really do. The Saints, I'm sure, want to see Kendre win that job. They spent a third-round pick on him. You don't want to be wrong about your third-round picks. You don't want to be wrong about your second-round picks either, but typically you're going to play those guys. The Saints, for whatever reason, have decided Isaiah Foskey is not a guy they want to play. But, yeah, we'll see. But even these guys down the line, like Clyde and even Velus Jones is interesting. Like, there's a lot of intriguing names at running back. And
Velus definitely been a name you've taken plenty of notes on.
More than I thought.
Yeah.
More than I expected. And a lot in the receiving game.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking at today's post-practice interview, Coach Kellen Moore talking to the media after day three, our WWL Sound Bank, brought to you by First American Bank. Kellen Moore talked about, first off, the players who were not practicing today.
A lot of veterans seem to get the day off today. Was that a planned thing?
Yeah, there's a few guys based off, whether it be injury, experience, workload, based off of that. And so, a few guys did not participate in practice today, but they'll do the rest of the day.
When you say injury, do you mean like injury history? Like
injury history. Yeah. Anyone who's got something to monitor. And so we'll continue to do that through all training camp.
You mentioned that last segment, Jeff, the guys not practicing today, Davin Godchow, Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, Brandon Cooks, Alvin Kamara, Eric McCoy.
Yeah, and it was a little tough to figure out who those players were because they were all out there. They just, you know, they were wearing sweatpants and, yeah, you know, not in drills.
Cam had like a little hoodie on under his jersey and was dancing a lot, so I could tell he was just enjoying the day off.
Yeah, and I think that's smart. I do. And so this is a Ted Rath thing because I remember Eric McCoy a couple years ago, his philosophy was like, if QB1 is out there, and we might not know who QB1 is right now, but he's definitely out there. He said, if QB1 is out there, I'm out there. Like, and that was Derek Carr at that point. Like, if Derek was practicing, he was practicing, and he's not taking a day off. Clearly, that's changed. And especially after a year like Eric had, there's no bad ideas from a health perspective. And Ted Rath is the new pro performance director. Clearly, they have some very specific benchmarks they're trying to hit. So on Thursday, for example, one of the reasons they were doing a lot of short yardage work is because they were trying to limit the amount that people had to run. Because they did a lot of running on Wednesday, and so they were trying to like tamp down on that on Thursday. So you did red zone work, right? And that's the type of stuff. When we say everything's intentional in Kellen Moore's training camp,
right,
it's stuff like that. Like, they're not just saying, hey, let's do red zone today. They're doing red zone on that day because of a specific reason.
We had mentioned one of the standouts from today's practice, wide receiver Mason Tipton. Coach Kellen Moore talked about the wide receiver here.
Yeah, he's an excellent player. I love his work ethic. I love the detail that he plays with. He's done an excellent job out there today. You know, he certainly had a couple opportunities to take advantage of it. So he's been really, really reliable.
That's the thing. Taking advantage of those opportunities. You saw Mason Tipton do that last year when he was healthy. Last season, 14 receptions, 99 yards. You mentioned, what was it, 11 games played?
11 games played, yeah. And the Chiefs game is the one that I go back to, and I'm like, man, that was a huge opportunity for him, and he just didn't take advantage of it. Because I think Chris Olave was out that week. I can't remember. Like, the offense just wasn't moving. And there were multiple plays in that game where it was like, oh, he's open. You just got to find him. And he just didn't get on the same page with Derek. And one of the things, like, my criticism of Mason when he came out of college, and I watched his tape from Yale, is like, he has elite speed, right? If you just put him in a straight line and say run a 40, he's going to run an insane time. But then you put him on the field in pads and say run a go route, and he doesn't look that fast. And it's weird because you should be like, and it's the opposite of like Rashid Shaheed. Like, you put Rashid Shaheed in pads and he looks faster. It's crazy. I saw him, and we're going to talk to him later. He had a wild moment today where he caught a pass and he kind of went out of bounds and he like hurdled the entire like Gatorade setup, which is big. It's not just like a jug. It's like this big, long.
That could be a commercial for Gatorade.
Right. And, you know, like, that's what I want to see out of Mason. But, like, you get him in the game, he just doesn't seem to have that juice. Like it's, I don't know. Like, you don't get to the top end with him in a game. And that's what I think the issue is. Like, you know, there's that athleticism, and you can really see it when he's not in pads. And I think he kind of fades a little bit when you put the pads on. But maybe I'm hopeful that that's something that can improve year over year.
His top game a year ago was against the Denver Broncos. Ended up with 6 grabs there, 45 yards, 7.5 yards per catch average. No touchdowns on the year. We'll see if, you know, he takes that another step going into this season. We know he's a smart guy coming out of Yale, 5'11", 187 pounds. You mentioned that speed, but can that speed translate when you have the equipment on? For some guys, that is the case, though. It is weird. A lot of folks always mention, why don't you just get like Usain Bolt, put him in some pads and throw him the football? It's not that easy.
Right. Like, straight line speed is one thing. Speed when you're, you know, getting beaten up at the line of scrimmage and trying to cut is a different thing. And again, that's what makes Rashid Shaheed so special, is he can play at top speed. He can do complex things at top speed. He can be going top speed, find the ball, locate it, adjust his speed to match that and bring it in, and he makes it look so effortless. And that's why, you know, when you don't have that, when you can't get that right, it's just like, what was wrong? And like, well, it's so much more difficult to connect on those deep balls than you would assume based on how easy they make it look when it works.
We know that Jake Haener got his run with the ones today. Good to see Jake out there because, you know, we talked about this competition even in OTAs, minicamp, being a 3-quarterback race, but when a guy's on the sideline, it's kind of hard to envision him even competing because you're not out there. Because what was it, an oblique or a shoulder issue he was dealing
oblique
with?
Oblique during the first practice of OTAs, yeah.
Yeah, ended up dealing with that. Well, Coach Kellen Moore was asked how Haener's day was running with the ones.
Yeah, Jake did a nice job. I think it's important for all those guys to get different exposures and be around different players and different settings and situations. And so I feel like all those guys responded. I thought this was our cleanest operating practice, which certainly you expect being the third day. But I thought our quarterbacks just operated at a really high level, communicated. They pushed the tempo, so felt good.
Haener, 2023, fourth round pick of this Black and Gold bunch. And you know, we heard from him yesterday, played that audio here on Sports Talk. He definitely has confidence, got an air about him. He carries a great attitude, considers himself that underdog and wants to, you know, prove everybody and the doubters wrong. And, you know, for his chance that his shot he got running with the first team today, did a good job, right?
Yeah, no, and I think I kind of see Jake as like a high-level backup ceiling who could get spot starts at the NFL level. And that's the worst thing in the world to be, right? Like, you could have a really long, successful career. Look at Kellen Moore, right? One of the reasons I think Kellen wants to keep Jake around and is excited to give him opportunities
sees himself in
Jake Haener. And, like, for the same reasons I think Kellen Moore was so quick to become an NFL coach, I think Jake has NFL coach in his future. And I don't know if it's head coach, maybe a quarterback's coach or like offensive coordinator, certainly. The question is, okay, does he have the juice to be a starter in the NFL to win a quarterback competition? That's where I start to fade him a little bit. But I expect him to make the roster. He's probably going to be a third string QB, and I think they're going to keep three quarterbacks. And here's the thing. If one guy gets hurt, suddenly that's your backup. And then you're in a game with him as your backup and some guy, like, you want him. There are worse things in the world than feeling like your third string quarterback has a strong grasp of the offense and you are comfortable putting him in the game if you need to. Keep in mind, like, yes, he struggled in that first half against Washington when they put him in there. He played well in relief when he came in against the Broncos. He led a touchdown drive. He played pretty well against the Chargers when he got in relief, and that's why he got that start in the first place. So, I don't know. Like, I don't have an issue with getting him run so that you get an idea of what you're looking at in the offense.
It's funny you mentioned that, you know, Kellen Moore might see a little bit of himself in a guy like Jake Haener. I felt like that way when we had Bobby Hebert raving about Andy Dalton at training camp. I was like, I think you just see yourself in this guy.
Well, I mean, Cajun Cannon, Red Rifle. I mean, even the nicknames match up. So I believe that too.
Though Andy Dalton was outperforming Jameis Winston, and everybody was kind of like poo-pooing what Bobby was saying.
he definitely got in there.
More from head coach Kellen Moore. You know, we're talking about right now practices not being in pads and evaluating players. Well, how do you evaluate the defense when these guys aren't hitting right now? Here's Coach Kellen Moore.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to get the ultimate physical evaluation. What you're going to get is the initial assignment. Are they responsibly sound? Do they have tremendous effort? The finish of every play, we certainly evaluate that part of this thing. And so are they finishing? Are they attacking the football, which is such a big part of the defense? Creating those habits that lead up to once you get the pads on, now the physicality ramps up and all those other things continue to rise.
Yeah, definitely, you know, Cam Jordan on the offensive line talks about, he's like, you know, I'm just ready to start hitting people. And when the defense is finally, you know, all jacked up and ready to go, I'm interested to see this defensive line, the linebacking core, how they're going to, it all functions in Brandon Staley's system now. It looks a whole lot different than we were seeing with DA.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, if you watch the defense over the course of these first few practices, you can kind of see in real time they're getting a little fed up of not being able to hit. You know, like, I saw Carl Granderson, like, he was getting a little chippy. Like, there was a couple runs that you could see kind of, like, finished him off a little bit.
A little extra nudge.
Because I think the offense kind of gets a little, like, in their feelings a little bit, like, we're dominating. But it's like, you got to give me a fighting chance here. Because even, like, again, defensive backs, you can't really be physical when they're not in pads. You can't really jam a guy, and you got nothing to hold on to. Same with the defensive line. Like, I want to be able to grab that offensive line and throw throw them to the side. But you can't really do that when they're not wearing pads. You can't really strong arm them in their chests really well. So, like, I think that's kind of what we're seeing a little bit. And that's why, you know, yesterday you see Brandon Cooks and Rajon Wright get into it, because it's like the defense wants to be physical and they can't be. And so that's why it changes. The game changes on both sides of the ball when you put the pads on.
A guy that's been really flourishing, I feel like OTAs, mini camp, and into training camp, wide receiver Rashid Shaheed, thankfully, you know, had surgery to repair meniscus in his knee. There does not seem to be any lingering effect from that one bit.
No, he said he was feeling 100% in March. So, I mean, you can do the math.
You can see it.
Like, there's plenty of time since then. He said he spent a lot of time in the weight room. We talked about this.
Yeah.
And he'll mention it when we play our interview with him. He put on 10 pounds of muscle this offseason. Okay. He's listed on the Saints roster at 180. He is currently 190. And you could see it. Like, I joke with him, like, every year he comes into camp, his, like, shoulders are further away from his head. Like, he's just, he puts in the work. And I think, you know, I want to do a podcast segment where we kind of rank Saints players based on, like, all pro, like, superstar potential. Because I put him at the top. Like, I think he has a skill set that is elite, that when he becomes an all-around wide receiver, when you have to honor the deep shot, which you have to do, and then he can burn you underneath. He can take the ball on a crossing route and take it to the house. We saw that today on a rep from Spencer Rattler. Like, and I think you were starting to see that last year, and he can be unguardable. And when you also put in the work in the offseason and you take care of your body, and now he's a physical specimen on top of that, like, I think he can be a superstar player in the NFL. And the biggest question is going to be, is there going to be a quarterback capable of providing that? Because, you know, it's a dependent position at wide receiver. You can't do anything on your own. Mark Schlereth is very adamant about this. Wide receivers can't do anything unless the quarterback helps them out. But I think he has that ability. Like, he is the player on the Saints. And I'd love to say it's Chris Olave, but there's just too many questions medically for me to feel like that. With Rashid, like, I don't have any question about the health. I think his knee's going to be fine. He's physically built to do it. He's got the speed. He's got the intangibles. And I just think his mental is perfect. Like, I'm so excited for what he's going to be able to do.
Here's what head coach Kellen Moore had to say about Rashid Shaheed.
Yeah, he's done a really nice job, and you can definitely feel his speed and his juice. And I think it's all about just getting comfortable in a new system. You know, there's certainly new words, new language, new responsibilities, and all these receivers have to go through that process. And he's doing a really, really good job of preparing. And then we'll find that package, find those roles for him, and you know, he'll take advantage of it.
Rashid Shaheed, Chris Olave, Brandon Cooks, that's a whole lot of speed with your top three Saints receivers. Jeff, you asked head coach Kellen Moore about the speed at the position.
When you have multiple kind of elite speed receivers, does that impact kind of how you approach offense in terms of, okay, we need to get these guys into space? We've seen reverses and
you certainly want to give them opportunities with the football, whether it be, you know, there's different ways, deep shots, the kind of the jet sweep type stuff and the arounds and all those different things. And so we'll continue to utilize those. And, you know, right now we're really focused on getting the scheme introduced, where guys line up. You know, it's kind of a introductory phase. As you get closer and closer to the season, we'll start getting very, very specific as far as what responsibilities each guy will have.
You know, that's something that a lot of folks have knocked this Saints wide receiving core, because they don't necessarily have that size, that big 6'3", 6'4" guy to go up and get the ball. But one thing they can do, and Brandon Cooks liked to mention, is like, well, you can't, there's no contesting what you can't catch.
Yeah, well,
as
I think,
as a player.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. like, they'll catch it. You just can't catch them. But no, I think, you know, it's, you can, you don't need that big body at the wide receiver room, but you have to create your offense to take advantage of that. I look over at Miami with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, and when things are going well, it's like, you know, they hung 70 on the Broncos a couple years ago. Like, you can just run away from people, but you have to find ways to get those guys in space. And that's what's driven me nuts over the last few years, is why isn't that happening more often? Like, why aren't you creating offense to take advantage of the speed? And that's why I'm excited about it, is we've seen already, just in the few practices, you've seen a lot of end arounds and jet sweeps and reverses with Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed. And I think both of those guys, you should be able to do that with.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.